I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. Get to Matthew and go backwards. Today is Father's Day, and I've titled the message today, "The Difference is Daddy." The difference is Daddy. And there's a lot that needs to be said about Father's Day. And first off, it's a little different than Mother's Day. Amen? You don't see as many corsages and flowers running around today. You don't see as many kids that have driven in to be with Dad on Father's Day. And even in our businesses don't look at today as a big profit day for them. It's Father's Day. And so we just look at it a little differently. One time a little boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said, "It's just like Mother's Day, other than you don't spend as much money on the present." And that may be the truth. But dads, we're glad that you're here. And obviously the role that dads play is essential in parenting and in rearing our kids and in helping our nation. How many of you know we are in a day when dads, we need more godly dads? We look out in the media and on television shows and sitcoms, dads are beat up, made fun of, belittled, ridiculed, as if they are not important or not essential. They are buffoons. And just one day after day after day, they're beaten up. Not only that, our children are attacked. Our boy children are attacked and told not to embrace their masculinity, but that they are to embrace their feminine side. As a matter of fact, you might be a woman and you just didn't know it. Why don't you consider the fact you might be a woman? And so all of these things work in to just destroy fatherhood, manhood, and just tear it apart in our country and in our world. But dads, we're glad that you're here. And I submit to you today that the difference is daddy. There was a story about a dad that came home with a toy for his children. And it's only one toy, several children. And so he said, "Listen, I've brought a toy home and I'm going to give it to the child who is the most obedient, never talks back to mom, and does everything he or she is told to do." So he looked at his kids and wondered which one of them would say, "That was me, that was me." And finally, they all looked at each other and said, "Daddy, you're more obedient to mama than all of us. Why don't you keep the toy?" So sometimes that's the case. But I've always wanted to help parents raise good kids. We live in this postmodern age to where, again, society is being ruined and destroyed. So my purpose this Father's Day is to encourage us to play defense as well as offense. I've always loved sports, and I've coached basketball for years, played a little basketball, loved basketball. And our teams, when I first started coaching, it seemed like we had a great offense. And a lot of games we would win, we would average with a high school team 75 to 82, 85 points, somewhere in there. And I felt really good about our offense, but then we would lose a lot of close games. And then there was this team in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, coached by Dale Coufal. And every time we would play them, whether it's our gym or their gym, the top score, the high score for both teams would be about 45. And it would seem that we would always lose. And what I realized is Dale Coufal learned how to coach defense. And he taught his guys that defense wins ball games. And it was then that I began to realize that I need to coach defense better. The game is more than just offense. Now, if we take that to parenting, dads, we need to be good at defense and offense. There's a lot of attack on the family today. Dads, we need to stand up and defend our family. But at the same time, we need to play offense for our family. And then inside of that, there is the transition game that happens in basketball where you need to get from offense to defense really quickly. And if you belabor that, you're going to get run over. So you got to transition really quickly. Moms and dads, we have got to be aware of what's going on to our children, with our children and our grandchildren. I mentioned that we have 9 grandchildren, and one of the things that I try to do is get something in common with every one of my grandkids, something that I can connect with, and I transition as they age and try to find something different to connect with. One of our youngest right now is Evelyn, and she goes right by now by Evers or Evie. She's a little over 1, and so we're trying to figure out what her name would be, what we're going to call her. But as I develop things in common with them, generally a song is something that I develop with all of our grandkids. And so I looked up the other day this song put your head on my shoulder. Now, the younger people in the room don't remember it, but you remember it. Older folks, put your head on my shoulder. So I found it on YouTube or whatever, and I played it for the three girls that I was at their house. And so, and then they started crawling on, I'm Pop. She's Lolly and I'm Pop. They started crawling on me and they'd put their head on my shoulder, those that speak English. But Evers, being one, she's just now learning to speak a few words. And so we were over the other day. And, anyway, I was holding her out in the yard and I started singing, put your head on my shoulder. And she was sitting up and she leaned over and just laid her head right across my shoulder. And I felt like a million bucks. You know, I was like, there it is. There's the thing that's in common. So then I went over to Megan, my daughter, and Cindy or Lolly, and I said, hey, watch this. And I started singing, put your, and she laid her head right down, and I was like, right on cue, way to go. And I was feeling like this great grandpa, and, you know, just doing a good job. Well, it's those little things in life, dads, that we need to try to have in common with our children and to be very purposeful in fathering our kids, defense as well as offense. So this morning, I want to encourage moms and dads as they play defense on behalf of their sons and daughters. May God help us to protect our children and grandchildren from the immoral influences of the world that we have, all the dangerous enticements that are out there, the mind-corrupting education that they're being taught, sometimes in a classroom, just outright taught, but sometimes it's caught in society. And I want to motivate us to get on the offensive to fight for our children and get on the defensive to defend our children. And then to get in the transition game to realize we got to do it very quickly and very wisely. I was reading a book a while back by Dr. James Dobson about bringing up boys. And reading this book, he talked about how that boys do things that girls don't do. No explanation, boys are just different. But we spent the 60s and 70s with the experts telling us that boys and girls are the same. But moms and dads, we know it's not true. We know that they're different. But we've been told they're the same for years and years and years. And now, it's not just that they're the same, but actually, we're confused and maybe we are the opposite sex. And so all this confusion has gone on. And in this book, he tells a story, or people call in or write in, and he writes down stories about boys that kind of explain their uniqueness. And this first story goes, in seventh grade, the biology teacher had us dissect fetal pigs. My friend and I pocketed the snout of the pig and stuck it on the water fountain at the school so the water would shoot straight up out of the pig's nostrils. No one really noticed it until they were bent over just about to drink. And the problem was that we wanted to stick around and observe all of our accomplishments. But we all got caught and received paddlings because we were laughing in the background while people drank. Another story was, a friend and I found a coffee can of gasoline in the garage and decided to pour some down a manhole, light it, and see what would happen. We popped the manhole open, poured some gas in, and replaced the cover so that it was ajar. We kept throwing in matches down there, but nothing happened. So we decided to pour all the gasoline in. Finally, there was a noise like a jet engine starting up, and then there was a big boom. The manhole cover blew up and flew up, and a flame shot out of the manhole, and the manhole cover crashed about 12 feet away in the neighbor's driveway. What happened was the gas ran down the sewer lines for a block or so and vaporized with all the methane in there and blew up all of our neighbor's toilets. I'm a plumber now. That's how I know exactly what happened. Dave Washington, 1952, he says. When I was reading this book some time ago, my son was little, and I remember while I was on the baseball bleachers watching the kids play t-ball, Bobby was out there playing t-ball, and his friend was there on shortstop, and this little boy was getting down in the dirt. He filled his hat full of dirt, and he put it right on top of his head, and the dirt went everywhere, and then he was just, you know, spreading dirt, dust cloud everywhere. You see, moms and dads, we know that our boys are different. They just do things that are different. And it's important that we understand as parents that the difference is daddy. As we minister to boys and to girls that we understand it. You've been seated for a while. You found Malachi. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word for Malachi chapter 4? And I want to read verses 4 through 6. Malachi 4, 4 through 6. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today and challenge us. Thank you, Lord, for our dads. We thank you, Lord, for each one. We pray that you would encourage us and help us spiritually, help us relationally with our relationships with our family and our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Bless us, Lord, today. If someone is here that does not know Christ as Savior, may they trust you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, and he was recorded in 1 Kings, in that area of the Bible. With Malachi's death coming here at the end of the Old Testament, the voice of God and the prophets are going to be silent for about 400 years. And then Malachi is telling us that there is another prophet like Elijah that is going to come. We know that to be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is going to preach the message of Christ and his kingdom. And so the time is getting ready to be silent for 400 years. But he says before he goes, or before this time of silence, when John the Baptist comes and he proclaims the day of the Lord, that during that time, the hearts of the fathers are going to be turned back to the children. And the hearts of the children are going to be turned back to the father. Now, we can take this passage simplistically and personalize it and simply preach a message, and I think it's worthy to preach, that what we need in our world, in America, in our homes, in our churches, we need the hearts of dads to be turned back to their children. And we need the hearts of children to be turned back to their dad. I think that can be preached absolutely out of this passage. But the bigger picture of what's going on in the passage is also the fact that the children of Israel had lived in rebellion. And in living in rebellion, they had began to stand against anything that their dads stood for, their forefathers. Moses, the deliverance from Egypt, all of these things they had begun to stand against. And so the children were standing against the fathers, and the fathers were in turn standing against the children. Listen, the devil is the author of division. And he is working in our society right now to divide us. You can feel it all around you. The world was the same for about 5,000 years. I mean, you had to work for food. Food was hard. Shelter was hard. Water was hard. All of these things were hard for about 5,000 years. And then all of a sudden, the Industrial Revolution happens and things change and everything goes a whole lot more quickly. So I think that children always thought that their parents didn't know things. But now, today, as we are advancing real quickly with technology, we're finding that our children look at our parents and grandparents and think that they don't know anything. Now that I've become a grandparent, and I'm starting to feel that feeling of, you know what? They don't look to me with respect. They don't think I know anything. I find myself thinking that y'all think I'm dumb. Y'all think I don't know anything. And all of a sudden, there is this division between older and younger, younger and older. We're dividing society between wealthier and not as wealthy. We're dividing society between skin color and skin color, nation against nation. We are dividing ourselves, and the devil is behind all of that. And he says here that when John the Baptist comes, and then he is going to give the message of Jesus, the Savior of the world, that's going to draw the hearts of fathers back to their children and children to their fathers. Right now, we need a good, healthy dose of that in America. As we look around and our young people are standing in rebellion and we're tearing up cities like Seattle and different places and we're pulling down statues and of history that people have fought and lived and died to give us the freedoms that we have today. And young people are just rebelling against those and acting as if they do not have any purpose and tearing them down. Fathers and children's hearts have been divided. And so I want to say to us, church and dads, regardless of what the world does, we as Christians, we don't follow the world. We follow the Word of God. And in following the Word of God, we need to bring our hearts back toward our children. And may the children's hearts come back to us. We're coming out of an age where the guidelines of parenting have been lost. Phil Donahue, remember that show from many years ago, that talk show? His wife, Marlo Thomas, wrote a book entitled Free to Be You and Me. And it was described as the first real guide to no sexist child rearing. It urged boys to play with dolls and tea sets and told them that they could be anything they wanted to be. And it featured dozens of poems and stories about role reversals. Every effort was made to teach kids that fathers were could be great moms and moms were pretty tough dudes. This book sold several million copies. And one of the reasons I say that, because the younger generation looks and they think that we've gotten here really quickly to where we are today, where we have this disrespect for manhood and womanhood. But the truth is, there was an intentional move, and it's been going that way for a long, long time. Germaine Greer authored a book entitled The Female Eunuch. She insisted that children are better off being raised by institution rather than parents. Our society responded, and we get our children in daycare early and early and earlier. So we talk about the early feminists like Steinem and Greer and Thomas. Most of them were never married. They didn't like children and deeply resented men, yet they advised millions of women about how to raise their children and especially how to produce healthy boys. There's no evidence that Steinem or Greer or many of them had any significant experience with children of either sex. And it's interesting how the media overlooked that simple point, but yet we let them direct us and our thoughts about child rearing for a generation. I would say to us, dads, we need to get back as quickly as we can to the Word of God in understanding how to rear children. And it's no accident. It's not something that we can just be casual with. And that's why I started the story with a good offense and a good defense and a good transitional game, that we as parents would become very, very intentional with our parenting. Because if we're not, the community and the world will rear our children, but they've got different plans for your children than what God does. So we must be very intentional. Two simple points today, quickly. First of all, dads must understand that boys and girls are different. Now that isn't a challenge. It doesn't seem like it should be a challenge. But we need to understand how to relate to them because they are different. Our society, again, is trying to tell us to feminize our boys and to take our girls and to masculinize them. Someone said years ago, if our men would be more masculine, our women could be more feminine. And I thought that was a pretty good statement. But we need to understand that boys and girls are different. When several men visit a skeet shooting place to go skeet shooting, it's just different when men get up there and start shooting. They start shooting to win, to beat the other guy, to score more, to hit more than the other. If you ever see ladies go to shoot skeet, you find them enjoying the journey, enjoying the telling stories and relating to one another about all that. That's not there. I mean, guys enjoy skeet shooting or whatever it is we're doing. But if we're going fishing, we're wanting to catch the biggest fish. Amen, men? Wait a minute. Do we have any men here? Come deer season in the church, you want to get the biggest deer, right? I mean, that's kind of the plan. You want to come to church and you want to humbly, you're hoping somebody says, hey, did you go hunting? Yeah, I went hunting. And then that you want them to say, did you get anything? And you're like, I was hoping you would ask. And then you can tell them the whole story and how awesome it is while you downplay it the whole time. And they keep asking questions, you keep bragging. But the truth is, it's kind of like old Tim the Toolman Taylor. I won. You know, I did good. And that's a man, and that's how we are. And we are made differently. And it's important that we understand that. It's important that we understand that our girls and boys are different. Somebody said, in a marriage, he's the pedal and she's the brake. Boy, that describes it in many ways. Somebody else received a story about from little girls talking about how girls are mo better than boys. And here's what they wrote. The little girls wrote, girls chew with their mouths closed, and so girls are more better than boys. Girls have better writing. Girls sing better. Girls are more talented. Girls can do their hair better. Girls cover their mouths when they sneeze. Girls don't pick their nose. Girls go to the bathroom politely. Girls learn faster. Girls are more kinder to animals. Girls don't smell as bad. Girls get more things what they want. Girls are more quieter. Girls don't get dirty. Girls are more attractive. Girls don't eat as much. Girls walk more politely. Girls aren't as strict. Girls comb their hair better. Girls shave more. Girls put on deodorant more often. Girls don't have as much body odor. Girls like to get more tan. Girls have better manners. So that's what the little girls wrote. Well, the guys had a response. The little boys had a response to that. Why boys are more better than girls. Boys can sit in the front row of a scary movie and not close their eyes once. Boys don't have to sit down every time they go. I should have left that one out. Sorry. Boys can climb trees better. Boys can hang on to their stomachs on fast rides. Boys don't worry about diet this and diet that. Boys are better tractor drivers than girls. Boys write better than girls. And the little boy spells it R-I-T-E. Boys can build better forts than girls. Boys are way more cooler. Boys have less fits. Boys don't spend their lives in the mall. Boys aren't afraid of reptiles. Boys don't do all those wiggly movements when they walk. Boys don't braid their another's hair. Boys don't cry and feel sorry when they kill a fly. Boys were created for it first. Boys learn to make funny noises with their armpits faster. Boys can tie knots, especially ponytails. Boys eat with a lot of heart. Boys are proud of their odor. Boys don't need to ask for directions. Boys don't hog the phone. Boys bait their own hook. Boys don't take 2 million years in the bathroom to get ready. Boys don't care if their noses aren't perfect. And boys respect everything and everyone, including girls. Now, little boys and girls, they know they're different. I think it's in time that we in the church, we make sure that we understand that boys and girls are different. We understand that we treat them that way, and we're on a good offense and defense, and how to take care of them, how to treat them right. I heard a story about a 14-year-old Amy who remembers the first time it happened. She was 5 years old. A thunderstorm outside in her bedroom window woke her up, and in the middle of the night, frightened of the dark, she ran into mom and dad's room, and she went over to mom's side and started pulling on the covers in the mom. And before mom could say anything, daddy awoke out of sleep, and he leaned over and raised up, called her name, and said, "Now go back to bed." And she said, "Daddy, I'm scared, the storm." And he said, "You're a big girl, go back to bed," at 5 years old. So she, crying, looked at mama, and mama just stared at the ground because she didn't know what to do, not wanting to overrule daddy. The little girl left the room, didn't go back to bed, but went into the bathtub and spent the rest of the night in the bathtub scared to death. Subsequent storms happened through the years, through her childhood, and many of those nights she found herself in the bathtub because she was scared and she had no comfort from dad. She writes as she's older, she said, "I've learned to get over thunderstorms. But the response of my dad that night, letting me know that he's not there to comfort me, has had lasting impact on my life." Dads, I would say to us, the difference is daddy. We have a role that's different than mama, and mama's role was blessed, but our role is there, and we are to be the protector of our families. We are to watch over our families. We are to turn our hearts toward our children. And our children will naturally turn their hearts back to us. But it's so important that we do that. I would say, secondly, that dads must stop the disengagement that we have in our families and with our kids. In recent years, we have watched, during my adult years especially, we have watched tragedy after tragedy after tragedy as teenagers and young people have taken weapons and created mass murder. We've watched society break down, and we wonder what's going on. And I don't think any any psychologist or scholar or anybody else has an answer, a main answer, but I would say to us that the Bible has an answer in the family. And the Bible tells us that the two are to become one and that they are to be married and they're to bring children into the world and they're to put God first, they put each other first, then they put the children there, then the church there, and then the workplace. That's the order that God has established in the home. And I would say to us that we in society, in this American dream thing, we have kind of lost focus. Inside the church, we have taken the church and we have made it passive. If it fits my schedule, the church will be a part of my weekend. If it doesn't fit my schedule, I'll not attend. I would say to us, daddies, church is important. God called us and told us that we are to assemble ourselves together in the Lord's house. And I would say to every daddy here, go to the Word of God and get this biblical conviction from the Word of God, not from me or a preacher that preaches it. You go to the Word of God, but the Bible says not to forsake ourselves to get the assembling together. And when we forsake assembling together in the Lord's house, we are going against what God has told us to do. And I would say to us that there are catastrophic consequences when we don't attend the house of God. We figured it up one day, our children, how many times we were in church, how many hours they spent in church with Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and youth camp. And in figuring it up, thousands of hours. That basically they were under preaching, they were under teaching, they were under counseling, they were getting biblical principles day after day after day after day. And I would submit to you that I never regret an hour that my children spent in the house of God learning His Word. Dads, I would say that we need to make church important in their life. Sometimes we look to our wives or the moms of the home to make church important. But I would say the difference is daddy. Daddy, understand the disengagement. Understand that there's a time to grow up. As we take our time and we love doing things, we like hunting, we like fishing, we like all of these things. But if we're not careful, once we bring children into the world, we can keep our hobbies above where they need to be. Dads, it's a great day when you can take that boy fishing with you and begin to teach him to fish. Except for he stays tied up in the trees all the time. But when you get him to where he's a good little fisherman, it's a good day. Mamas, it's a great day when you can take your daughters and you go together and you're shopping and you're looking and you're, if you spend the time in the children's small years, you get to enjoy the relationship of the teen years. And that's how it's meant to be. And I would say to us, we have to be careful to make sure we're focused on family, to turn our hearts back to our children. So the difference is daddy. So many statistics are out there to help us. But we never go wrong when we invest in our children. Our children need us, dads, and we play a crucial, crucial role. Malachi 4:6, I want to read it one more time and then close. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Dad, your role is important. The difference is daddy. Difference is daddy. Mamas, we ought to pray for every daddy in here, every grandpa in here. God will help them in their role, in their ministry, to be exactly what God would have them to be, to lead them. It gets tough. Everywhere we go, we get beat up, made fun of. We're not supposed to take an active role. We're not supposed to this. We're not supposed to lead. God made us to lead, man. God made us to set the spiritual tone in our home. God made us to make sure that we have love prevalent in our home, that that is a motivating factor, love for God, love for each other. God made us to establish these things. God made us to protect. Somebody comes to your doorstep, they want to do harm, that's when you're going to man up. You're going to hit that door with everything you've got, whatever you've got, whatever weapon that is. You're going to hit that door. You're going to knowingly protect your family. That's my job. That's my role. I would say to us, Daddy, our roles are that for sure. The same thing happens. Our families are being attacked with an unbiblical philosophy where our boys are being humiliated and mocked for being young men, and our girls are being told not to be a young lady. And we need to protect our home.
We need to get back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And that's what we ought to do. Regardless of what the world does. Stand up for right. The difference is that. If you're here today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, dear friend, today is the day to trust Christ as your Savior. Put God first in your life. Turn your heart back to God. And then turn to the right now. I want to close in prayer, but I want to do something that we all pray for our dads. Dads, would you stand up all over the room, just where you're at, and I'm going to have you move forward. Dad, just stand up. Right, all over the room. Dad and grandpas. Ladies, I want you to pray for these men. It's not often that we open up our hearts and lay out our emotions. We don't cry well. Okay? I told Cindy so many times, we get talking and she starts crying and I say, that's not fair. I can't do that. It doesn't come that easy. It doesn't work. I still care. I'm just not crying. So it's hard to say. But listen, they have emotional pressures. They have biblical pressures. They have decisions they ought to have to make every day. As we close today, we'll probably turn it back to Pastor Will. Let's pray for these men together. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, on this Father's Day, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for this day that we honor men and fathers. We pray, Lord, for these men. Every one of them have burdens that are on their hearts. And we would sit and talk to them long enough, Lord, those burdens, Lord, are real. I pray, Lord, that you would work. Whatever's going on in their life, in their family, work, wherever, I pray, Lord, that you give them grace, that you give them strength, that you give them wisdom. Help them, Lord, if they try to stand and do what's right in this society. If they try to leave their homes, their children, grandchildren, church, community. Bless their work, bless their parenting, and bless their ministry and all that they do. Give them a great Father's Day today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.